When I think about Orphan Sunday, I think about just a celebration of worship, resounding to the Father, to the fatherless, in churches literally all around the world who are saying, we are your people, adopted by your grace, brought into your family, and we're worshiping you for that together as your children, literally as a global family. And at the same time, we're saying together, we're praying together, we're committing ourselves together, how can we be a reflection of your character in the world around us, and to renew that commitment, to give opportunity for people who maybe have not even thought about the potential of caring for orphans through adoption or foster care, to put that before people and to see what God, the Father to the fatherless, by the power of His Spirit does as His church is focused on that literally around the world. And who can imagine the multiplying effects in orphans' lives, in people's lives, in the church, and ultimately in the world for His glory when that happens on that particular Sunday during the year.
Today is Orphan Sunday. It's a really exciting day for me. I'm Ellie Kramer. I'm in charge of the Adoption Orphan Care Ministry here at Cedar Creek Church. We've been celebrating Orphan Sunday here at Cedar Creek for probably about 5 years. Orphan Sunday started over 10 years ago, actually, in Zambia, Africa, with a pastor there just called the church to spend the day caring for and donating and thinking about orphans, and that has spread to the U.S. and spread now to estimated to be celebrated in 50 countries, over 500 churches this day today, which is just so exciting to me. I really just think about, you know, how it says in Matthew, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. And that's what this day is to me and so many people around the world, just to say that we as a global body of God's people can come together today and know that we're all focused in the same direction and pray in that direction, and what a powerful movement that can make in the kingdom and against the forces of evil and against sin in the world and against just all of the things that orphans out there are struggling with. What a difference that having that many people focused together, praying for them, caring for them, can just do. And I've seen that over the years. Starting 4 years ago, for 2 years, me and my team did a rice and beans dinner on Orphan Sunday. We raised money for Teamwork Africa, which some of you are familiar with. The first year and the second year, it went to an orphanage in Haiti that Susie will be talking about later. Last year, a lot of you were here, we did an Orphan Sunday ministry fair. We had 15 organizations come in and just show the vast variety of ways that the church can care for orphans. Everything from Apple Pregnancy Center to Boys and Girls Club to Teamwork Africa to adoption, foster care, to just mentoring and caring for and all these different things. And that looks like 100 different things, just like so many things we do for God. He uses our specific gifts and abilities to call us in a specific way. And you see throughout the Bible that God is just so passionate about His children. And that includes the orphan. And He's just talking about them over and over again and relating to us that we can be a part of His mission to just care for those children, and it's just amazing to see what He can do. So today I'm very excited. We have, I'm going to call a couple people up here so that I'm not just talking at you all day, so be thankful for their breaking up my chatting. And they're just going to share their stories so you can see what God has been doing in Cedar Creek and what He continues to do, and I'm excited to see where it goes. So if you guys want to come up and join me. And I'm going to have you guys each introduce yourselves and then tell us a little bit about your involvement and why I picked you.
The reasons that she picked me are very long, and I'm not going to get into that right now. My name is Josh Kramer. I am Elizabeth's husband. We are currently in the process of going through the steps to adopt two children from Bulgaria. We've been in the process for about a year. Right now we're kind of in the last legs of the setup for everything. And so we, hopefully by the end of the year, will be on the waiting list and we'll have kids ready to be matched with us at some point in the future after that. So that's part of the reason that I'm here. Also, it's over the last several years, 5 years or so, I've had the incredible joy of being able to watch and work with and support Ellie as she runs the orphan and adoption care ministry here. And so that has been very exciting for me as well.
My name is Susie Schilke. I started here at Cedar Creek a long time, 2003, 2004. And I became involved in orphan care through going on mission trips initially, and then that turned into a trip to a couple of trips to Haiti, the second one being when the earthquake happened. That really spoke to my heart. And I did those trips through Cedar Creek. And then I really just wanted to be involved in Haiti. I wanted to be involved in orphanages. So then God just opened the doors in various ways. I can tell you the extended story sometime if you're interested.
If you have like 4 hours.
Yeah. But totally just through God's timing and door opening, I ended up at an orphanage called God's Littlest Angels in Haiti. I worked on staff there as the update coordinator, taking pictures of the kids and sending updates to adoptive families waiting for their kids to come home. And I was supposed to just be there for a year, but it turned into 3.5. I just moved back from there this last December, so I've been home. I've been back in the States about a year, and I'm finishing my Master's of Social Work degree. I hope to go into adoption social work. That's just my passion and joy, to help adoptive families, to see kids matched, to see families completed through adoption. And my current internship is in the Twin Cities. It's at an adoption agency there called Adoption Programs of Lutheran Social Services and Children's Home Society. It's a long name. Two agencies combine their adoption programs to be one. So they do domestic and international adoption work through that agency. So I have the privilege of doing that right now. So I'm enjoying that a lot. So in brief, that's how I'm involved in orphan care.
My name is Alan Rick. This is my wife, Ruth. And we are involved with orphan care because we adopted Jaden about 5.5 years ago. And God called us to that in kind of an unusual, interesting way. Jaden's from China. And when we first started the process, we had no sights on adopting an older child or adopting a boy. But God had better plans, and we got Jaden about 5.5 years ago at the age of 8.
Thank you. I'm just going to have you guys share, as briefly as you can manage, kind of how God has used your various experiences to teach you about Him, and how that's impacted kind of the broader areas of your life, too.
I guess I'll start again. there's been a few different areas that kind of came to mind. Specifically, through our own process of adoption, I am really good at planning things, at least short-term things. It's very comforting to me to know what's coming and what's happening. If I'm having a frustrating or aggravating day at work, sometimes I'll just take a second and like jot down all the things that I'm going to do for the rest of the day so I can like cross them off one at a time. And it is really helpful to me to know what's coming and know what's going on. And that is not really a thing that always is possible. In orphan care in general and in adoption, and with a lot of different ministries. I mean, that's not really the way that God works. And I'm kind of learning that more and more, is that He really doesn't want me to be in charge of a lot of things. I'm not as good at it as I like to think that I am. And so that is an ongoing thing through this whole process, is that it's just not possible for me to be able to be in control, and that's a good thing for me to learn. The other big thing, I guess, that comes up all the time and is part of the reason that Orphan Sunday is such an exciting thing, is that there are so many ways that caring for orphans and going through adoption teaches us about what God did to bring me into His family. I always like to kind of gloss over some of it and say, like, my sins have been forgiven and it's great, and it is, but I've been forgiven. My sins weren't. They still had to be paid for. And that was a big deal, and it cost God a lot to do that. And so being able to live out this picture in a very practical way, so that once our kids are here with us, they'll have that salvation built into their story already that we can kind of live that out with them in a natural way. That's very exciting and humbling, and it teaches me a lot all the time.
I could go on and on about the thing is God's taught me through the ministry that or the work that I've done in orphan care. But one thing I'd say is one thing that just caught my heart right away is that I cannot stand to see kids without families, or not necessarily even just families, but people in their lives, adults in their lives that care about what's going on in their life and to lead and guide them. That breaks my heart more than anything else in the world, and there's a lot of terrible things in the world, but that one thing strikes me the most. And so I think God just shown me everybody's story is different, and I've had the amazing joy of seeing families like these guys, families across the world, across the country, start their adoption process, walk through it, through the trials and difficulties that it brings, which is a lot. It's a very emotional roller coaster process, and it's a joy to see those families go through that and process it with them and support them through it, encourage them as much as I'm able to. And God just really is showing me his timing. Families struggle with that. It's one of the main things they struggle with adoption, especially international, when you're not sure what the time frames are going to be. You don't know when your kids are coming home. Like Jason mentioned earlier, Heather's in Haiti and she doesn't know when she's coming back. That's one of the hardest things that you can imagine doing, I'm sure. So just his timing is supreme, and trusting that is not an easy thing. But even in my own personal journey, I've seen that when I look back, I can see that I can trust his timing. And then when I come to a new situation and I'm not trusting, and he kind of hits me over the head with a 2x4 and says, look at all the things I did for you. Look at all the things I walked you through and the timing that I had in those events in your life. And look, this moving forward, you can trust me. So trust and timing that the Lord has is two of the main things I think I would say I would learn from that.
And I know I have only a very, very short time. So if any of you have questions or want to talk about orphans or talk to me, because I love to talk about it. And I can relate to what both Josh and Susie said. I learned to trust God's time. Well, actually, I learned to trust that God's plan is perfect. The idea of adoption isn't, a lot of people look at it as plan B. Well, we couldn't have kids. And that's kind of maybe where Alan and I started, because I had been told before we were married that it might be very, very difficult to have children. It wasn't. 10 months after the wedding, our daughter Kirsten was born. She's now 21 and is currently in Senegal. And our son Andrew is 16, and he has shown up here occasionally. Often goes to Jacob's Well with some friends to church. And we had a girl and we had a boy. We looked like a perfect family. We didn't seem to be the type of family that needed another child. And we'd taken care of kind of permanently, because I have diabetes. I'm talking too much. I'll give you details. I'll give you more details if you want to ask me about it. But God's plan is perfect. Adoption is plan A for him. It was plan A when the fall happened. Before the fall happened, he knew that we would need to be reconciled to him, that we were basically born into this world without our Heavenly Father. We were separated from him. And so adoption has shown me how he reconciles in a very tangible, visible way. He's shown me that his timing is perfect. We waited nearly 4 years when we expected our wait to only be about a year, year and a half at the most. If God hadn't put that wait into our lives, we would have brought home a little girl and not Jaden. And Jaden was perfect for our family. He still is. And so God showed me that his plan is always perfect. Now, it didn't always feel perfect, because when we brought Jaden home, another thing God taught me was the way adoption works in his family, because I saw visibly how it worked in my family. Bringing home an older child, I used to say, it is not for the faint of heart, and I'm not sure that I'm not faint of heart. And I really had to learn to trust him and lean on him, and I got to see that, you know, Jaden became, the way China does it, Jaden became part of our family when he came into contact with us, basically. All we had to do the next day was say, yes, we were going forward with this. If we'd said no, it was all over. And we had developed a love for Jaden, and so we didn't want to say no. We wanted it to be yes. And so he was part of our family. Now, he didn't always look like part of our family. He didn't know the rules. He didn't understand how he should operate in a family. He didn't understand that at all. And it gave me a new perspective on, you know, welcoming new believers into the body of Christ, because they don't always look like the rest of us, and they don't always talk like the rest of us. And God really showed me that, you know, it doesn't matter. They're still part of the family. And I could go on and on, but I won't.
Just two things that stand out to me. Number one, before we adopted Jaden, there was one thing in my life that I thought I was pretty good at, and oddly enough, it was being a dad. And I learned differently, that I had still a lot to learn, and God continues to show me that I need to depend on him to learn to represent who he is in my life to my kids and be dad to them. So he dealt with my pride pretty quickly and pretty effectively and pretty efficiently in that. And number two, it was interesting because as we started to bring Jaden into the family and help teach him things and want him to grow and learn, it was a struggle for him at times, because who are these people that are all of a sudden I'm calling mom and dad, but what does that mean? And he struggled with the authority or the leadership or some of those things, and that was fine. And interestingly enough, it was really frustrating for me at times, but God opened my eyes and said, you know something? Every way that Jaden is challenging you as a dad is a way that you are challenging me as your Heavenly Father. And it has been one of the most amazing learning experiences, and I'm not there by any stretch of the imagination, but God has really opened my eyes to see what it means to be a child of his and to have to learn to trust him. And we went through a long period of time with Jaden, said, you're not trusting us, you're not trusting us. And God's saying, yeah, and you're not trusting me either. And it was a hard lesson, but it was an important one for me.
Yeah, I just want to share a little bit my story. I think for me it's been that I have gone through a lot of different stages of things and just told God over and over and over again that I'm unqualified. You know, when we started this ministry as a church, I was single, not dating, not engaged to anybody, I mean, no horizon of marriage. And, you know, and I was sitting down in a meeting with three or four families that either had adopted or were in the process of starting it, and they all looked at me and said, so you're in charge, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I'm 10 years younger than all of you, and I am nowhere near being a part of this, so why am I in charge? But it was really like that God had called me to that, and he told me over and over again, I've called you to this. And I was like, but could you just call somebody else first? That would be great. And so God really worked with me for years, saying, okay, I will support you in this. I will see this through. And I remember the first year we did an Orphan Sunday event, there was a group of people about my age that wanted to do a fundraiser for Teamwork Africa, and it had been on my heart for months to do this rice and beans fundraiser meal. And I really dismissed it because I said, God, I don't have the help I need to do this. And they were planning it without me knowing, and I heard about the meeting, and it was literally 3 weeks from the day we met to the day that the meal happened. And it happened on Orphan Sunday, and we got
the food donated and the location donated, and I don't even remember. I think we raised like $1,200 for Teamwork Africa on that day, and it was just so powerful because this group already existed, and God just said, "Yep, this is the group I'm giving to support you. I'm seeing you through this," and it was just really amazing to me. And now I'm kind of, and I'm still struggling with that. I'm younger than a lot of people in the church, a lot of parents, a lot of ministry leaders, and just to say, okay, this is, I put you here, Ellie, and I will equip you to do it, and I will carry it through. And I think now we're doing the same thing as a pre-adoptive parent of my vision, I've always wanted to adopt, but my vision was I would get married, you know, in my early 20s, which didn't happen, and then, you know, have a few biological kids and learn how to do kids, and then, you know, in my 30s and 40s, I would adopt, and I would have money because I'd have a good job because all these things, and it would be just piece of cake. That is not at all the case. And Josh and I don't have any children currently, and so stepping out into adoption, feeling very called to that before we had biological children is very, very just challenging to me. And we started out saying, okay, we'll adopt a two-year-old, and now we're up to maybe a six-year-old. So over the year and a half we've been doing this, it's kind of God has just pushed and pushed to say, okay, well, if you can handle two, can you handle three? If you can handle three-year-old, can you handle four-year-old? Oh, if you can handle a four-year-old, can you handle two four-year-olds? And just push this envelope. And I come back to saying, God, I don't know that I can do this. I don't know that I can do this. And he said, do you trust me to come through? Do you trust my wisdom in this? Do you trust this? Like they're saying. And just, you know, you look through the Bible and how many people from Moses, you know, said, I'm not qualified, call somebody else. And you look at so many, the beginning of the chapters I love that are all like, could you just pick somebody else? Jeremiah, I think, says, I'm a young boy, go ask somebody else. And I just feel that. But it's really cool that it is. God has just forced me to lean into him because I don't have the skills, the knowledge, the wisdom necessary. And he's forced me to lean into the church body and say, hey guys, I don't have the skills, the knowledge, the wisdom necessary. Help me, support me, pray for me, guide me, correct me, you know, whatever it may be. And it's really been humbling and hard and awesome. And it's just the beginning because we don't have kids yet. So I'm sure in 5 years I'll be knocking on their door saying, our 8-year-old is doing A, B, C, and D. What do I do?
If it takes that long, it'll be a God's grace.
Yep. So getting into that, I guess I want to ask, what would you say was the biggest challenge you have faced either in this process or through the whole thing? And probably what did you learn or get from it? Or if you're still there? Anyone that wants to answer?
I think, piggybacking what I just said, I think the biggest challenge was letting God shape my idea of what a family should look like. Because we kind of had it worked out in our brains, and this is what it was. And accepting his movement and his changes and his ideas and just the fact that he had a different plan than we did. When we started the adoption process, our daughter Kirsten started to write a diary to a little girl named Hannah, which is what we had expected. And she had been writing this for about 3 years. And we got to the point where all of a sudden it looked like God was taking us a different direction. We opened up the possibility of a waiting child, an older child, or a child with special needs. And immediately God acted, and it wasn't a girl, and it couldn't be a Hannah. And God had a different plan. God had a better plan. God had a perfect plan. And it was a challenge because I have plans. I have ideas. I have figured all this out, and it doesn't work that way. I think anybody that has gone through adoption has had some type of surprise, some type of, whoa, what just happened here? And it really is hard. It's hard because we had something in our minds and God says no. And it's one of the greatest things in the world. Doesn't feel that way, but it is one of the greatest things in the world because all of a sudden you have to let go and let him be in control.
I think I'd have to say my answer is very similar to Alan's in that I like to be in control. I like to know that what I'm doing is the right thing to do. And I've kind of always been that way. And here I was with my son smiling at me, with because he knows how imperfect I am, and how out of control I am in that I don't have control over the things that happen either in my life or my family's life. When Jaden first came home, I really seriously doubted that I had, you know, that he had spoken to me. I mean, that's kind of how we got Jaden. Alan had taken his choir to China, and I got on the plane to come home, and I'm like, honey, we're leaving somebody behind. And Alan was very consternated at me because there were 80 people who he was responsible for, and he knew he had everybody. And the thing was, the feeling didn't go away after we'd come home. And this isn't what led me. I need to go back to what was hard. I can tell you my story another time. But God had spoken to me. He'd said, Ruth, you're leaving someone behind. And so that's how we got started into adoption. And when he came home, I seriously doubted that. I doubted that I didn't seem to be the right mom for him. We seemed to butt heads a lot. I didn't know what he needed. I mean, Alan and I had always made it the way we parented to become students of our children. How did God shape them? How did he make them? And we would respond to them in ways that we felt God would want us to respond, or that God would respond to them. And I didn't know Jaden, and that was hard. And I remember calling a woman whom I'd met, who was part of our little group in China, who lived in the Sheboygan area. And I said, Robin, and she goes, yeah, don't you feel like a criminal? And I said, yeah, because the thoughts that I had were just like, you know, what if I put him on a plane and sent him back? And just, I mean, I wouldn't have, but I had some of those thoughts, and they were scary and overwhelming. And part of what I had to learn in all of this is that I don't need to worry about grace for the long haul today. All I need to do is lean on God for the grace for today.
For me, I mentioned before, I don't know, orphan care and adoption's always been on my heart, and early college I remember thinking, how do I fit into that? Kind of like what Ellie was saying, what does that mean for my life? How can that look? And then after I came back from Haiti from those short-term trips experiencing the earthquake, I just knew in my heart that was something that I wanted to move forward in and do. It didn't have to be international. It could have been domestic. I wasn't sure. So I looked into doing adoption social work, and that seemed like the right fit. So I moved into my master's degree, but I still was sure that Haiti was there. It was just in my heart. So what I remember being the most challenging time as far as the big picture of how I got into orphan care and adoption is just asking the big question, how do I fit in? What do I do? And then allowing God to guide me into that. And now looking back 5-6 years later, I'm amazed at what God's allowed me to be a part of, what he's allowed me to see, the relationships he's allowed me to build with adopted families, with adopted children. It's amazing. I can't complain. So, but it was challenging at first. I look back and I remember just being desperate to know what can I do. So,
yeah, I think I'm sure this answer will change many times as we get farther and farther into our own process of going through this. But I think at the moment, a lot of what was difficult for me, at least personally, was just kind of knowing how and when and what to start doing. When we were dating, and before we started dating, especially Ellie used to refer to me as a glacier a lot. And if
in a very loving way.
And if you're familiar with physics, large objects at rest tend to stay at rest, and it takes a lot of energy to kind of get them moving. And we talked about, even before we started dating, we talked about, you know, how adoption was going to be a part of our lives if we moved in that direction. And I thought, that's great, and we'll do that sometime. And right now we should make supper and watch a movie. And then and it's just that kind of long-term thing, for, you know, in my mind, tends to stay in the long term. And so knowing what the right decision for us to do and when was, I think, really hard for us. And we, after we had been married for a little over a year, we were at the Christian Alliance for Orphans annual summit. They have a conference where they have all kinds of speakers and just everyone that you can possibly imagine that's involved in all sorts of orphan care. And one of the sessions that I was in during that conference, the speaker, I have no idea what the session was about, the speaker basically said, if this is something that you think God has for you, if adoption is going to be part of your family, just do something. And that's really hard for me to do things. And so after that conference, we kind of, you know, Helly and I were kind of recapping and talking about what we had learned, and I kind of said, I think we should start looking at this. And I expected her to say, like, that's great, I've been waiting for you to catch up, so here's all the paperwork that I filled out. And it actually wasn't like that at all, because of a lot of the reasons that she said. We didn't really feel like we were ready. We didn't feel like we were qualified. We didn't know how to have kids, and we still don't. I don't know anything about kids. and so a lot of that has just been... has been a struggle for us to know if we're doing the right thing, and if we're just kind of trying to do it on our own. And a lot of the confirmation of that actually comes from it being hard sometimes. We were talking about this weekend, that there's a lot of spiritual warfare involved, and those attacks, I think, are a really good confirmation that the devil doesn't want us to be doing this. And so that's probably a pretty good sign that we're headed in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, I think through so much of what I've done, you know, in addition to being a pre-adoptive parent, I've been involved with Teamwork Africa over the years. And, for example, the little boy we started sponsoring a few years back, Josh and I, we were sponsoring him for about 3 or 4 months, so that him and his family, his two little brothers and his mom and dad, that were all his parents and himself, were both blind. And so we started sponsoring their family and giving them rice. And so for the first time in however many years or lifetime, that family knew that they would have food. And they begged because they were blind and that was their only income. And I heard stories from people on that side saying the first month he was determined to carry the 50-pound bag of rice himself so that he could bring it to his mom and say, like, look, we have rice. And just 3 or 4 months later, after we started sponsoring him, he died. And he died in a cab in the parking lot of the hospital because it took him so long to get to the hospital. And he had a waterborne illness that would be literally cured with Gatorade. He was just that dehydrated. And I was just so mad, just so furiously mad at God. Like, are you kidding me? He just got hope. Like, just for the first time, his family has hope. And this is what you do? You know? And really, God showed up to me in that moment and said, you know what? He's in heaven with me, and he's not blind anymore. He gets to see me. He's fine. He's great. He's rocking it out in heaven. He's having a great time, you know, and mourn for his mother. And his mother knows God, and his father knows God, and his little brothers are 3 and 4 at the time, and so they were learning. But it was just one of those days that God really reset me, because I feel like God has put this in my heart for so long, that these kids need to be in families, and they do so much. But the main priority is for everyone to know God, and that their spiritual fatherhood is more important than even ours, and like that, and just resetting that over and over again. And that's played into our adoption story. And what does that look like? Okay, what does that mean for us? Where are the kids that we're supposed to be raising? And maybe we're not adopting. Maybe we should go spend all that money on Teamwork Africa and be influencing kids in Liberia. Maybe there's just so many options, and that's great. And God can work through all of those things. And trying to really figure out which one was for us was really hard, and continues to be, because, like, adoption is expensive. And every time we pay for anything, I just feel like, well, what if we did ABCD with this money instead? And, you know, And like Josh has said, both the struggles and the doors that God has opened so specifically on this path for us that, you know, because of I have health issues and different things that, you know, out of all of our options, this is the one door at the one agency at the one country that has opened for us. And it was where we wanted to go anyway. And so, like, just seeing those things happen confirms it. But it's constantly. I mean, I just want God to write it down and be like, yes, do this. You will have this many kids on this day, and they will be this gender, and they will be this name. And then I would know. But he just doesn't work like that because he doesn't want to lose the relationship. If he told us everything today, we would have no reason to ask him again tomorrow. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned. I mean, there's so many areas of my life, and it goes for everything. It goes for my job, my marriage, you know. And so that, I'm going to stop rambling now. But that has just hit me in so many different ways across the board. As if he told us everything today, we wouldn't talk to him tomorrow. I guess we just have a few minutes left. I don't know if there's anything burning on anyone's hearts to share.
Well, I think that I just want to read one verse because it really stands out to me as so important. And it's one of the major adoption verses, but James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Our adoption story began because we visited orphans in China. And God doesn't touch everybody's heart that goes to visit orphans to all of a sudden become adoptive parents. But he does do something miraculous when you do that out of a pure, genuine love for him. And for us, it was moving us to the point of saying, yes, let's adopt a child. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. I wouldn't trade Jaden for anything. And it's a tremendous, tremendous blessing to us. But it came because he was able to open our eyes and touch our hearts and draw us into a longing, loving, responding relationship with him. And that's really where it comes from. And that's really the only way it can be sustained. He's the one that makes it happen because it's hard. It's really hard. But it's really great. Beyond imagination.
One thing I just want to add is that we are talking a lot about adoption because we have adoptive parents. I work in adoption primarily, but orphan care is not just adoption. There's so many avenues that you can help out in, you can donate to. I know, like, probably all of us up here and a lot of people in the church have resources and ideas. But, I guess my encouragement to everyone is to think about that and think, like, on this Orphan Sunday, it's really a time to reflect on the orphans of the world. An orphan doesn't just mean they don't have parents. It means they don't have loving, caring people in their lives. There's foster care system full of them in our very own backyard. So just to think about that, even if it means being a mentor to a foster child or... being a mentor to a child and brothers and sisters who doesn't have that supportive family system. They don't have to be an orphan to care for children. And so just to think about what does that mean? Does it mean donating to a cause that's close to your heart or whatever that looks like? Doesn't have to be adoption. Adoption's kind of the big scale thing, expensive. I mean, God really does need to call you to it. It's not, like she said, she mentioned, I hear that all the time, it's not for the faint of heart, it's not something you just pick up and do tomorrow. It's a lifelong journey. So, that's my encouragement, is just to think about orphan care and how you can be involved, regardless of what that looks like, big or small.
And one thing I'd want to say is, Josh and Elizabeth have said it, and we've kind of said it too, especially since we're doing international adoptions. International adoptions tend to be more expensive. And yet we knew that's where God was calling us. And so we went ahead and we wrote our first check. And it was using money that we had saved, because Alan, in working in the university system, doesn't get paid in the summer. And so we used money we'd saved to live on in September. And... it felt a little risky, but we moved ahead. And there was a couple in our church that came to us, handed us a check, and said, we'd been praying for a long time that God would bring a family who would adopt internationally. We really didn't expect it to be you. But they gave us a check for pretty much the exact amount we had written out. And it was really confirmation to us that God had us on this journey and he was going to pay for it. And he did. God worked through a lot of people, both through organizations, and there are plenty of organizations out there. If you don't feel you can adopt, but you know that God is leading you to do something, Shohanna's Hope gave us a ton of money, which doesn't necessarily always happen, and that you get a ton of money. And that was like, whoa, where'd that come from? And, you know, God just moved whenever he needed to. So don't let where you're at financially, if you feel God calling you to that, don't let that stop you. If you don't feel called to adoption, and if you don't, I would encourage you not to adopt. Because, like Susie said, and like I said, it isn't for the faint of heart. It brings challenges that having a child by birth doesn't necessarily bring. But if you feel led to help somebody, if you feel led to give some money to Josh and Ellie or somebody else,
didn't tell her to say that.
No, she didn't tell me to say that. But that's how God works, and that's how his body works. And maybe you're not called to adoption, orphan care. Maybe it's helping widows. You know, maybe you need to look at, you know, like Voice of the Martyrs or something like that. But when God moves you, the thing that we need to do is respond to him. And that is really what I would encourage all of you. If God moves you, don't doubt that it's from him, especially if he confirms it. And just move with him, because he's got a plan much greater than you, much greater than me, much greater than the person sitting next to you. And count it a privilege to potentially be part of that.
Absolutely. Well, they stole everything else I was going to say, so which is good because we're out of time. So I just want to thank all you guys and tell everyone what they said is true. If you have any questions or you're vaguely curious or anything, you talk to one of us, talk to the Kansas, talk to the Breedles. If you want to know about sponsoring Kids with Tumor Africa, talk to Randy Johnson. There's just so many resources and so many ways to get plugged in. So if you have any questions or anything, feel free to talk to us. I'm not going to nag you every day about whether or not you're adopting, I promise. But I want to thank all of our panelists for being a part of things today. And it was great.